when I'm traveling by train, I realized I'm more excited. The whole train situation is so different. It's like slow living, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just sit there and there's like a beautiful nature outside of the window.
Das ist der Telekom Electronic Beats Podcast, der Podcast rund um Nachtleben und Clubkultur.
Wir sprechen mit DJs, Türstehern, Tänzern, Clubbetreibern und anderen Nachtmenschen.
Mein Name ist Gesine Kühne.
Und ich bin Jakob Töne.
Herzlich willkommen beim Electronic Beats Podcast. Herzlich willkommen beim Telekom Electronic Beats Podcast. Mein Name ist Gesine Kühne und ich freue mich über jede einzelne Zuhörerin und auch über jeden einzelnen Zuhörer. Das Gespräch, das ihr gleich hören werdet, das hat auf Englisch stattgefunden, denn ich durfte Kasper Björke treffen. Ich bin so ein bisschen Fangirl, seitdem es ihn gibt als Produzent und DJ. Getroffen habe ich Kasper in Mailand. Ja, dort hat er im Grace Club ein DJ-Set gespielt und ich dachte mir so, ich mach's mal wie er. Denn Kasper Björke versucht, alle seine Gigs mit der Bahn zu erreichen. Das heißt, Amerika findet gar nicht mehr statt. Also habe ich mich auch in den Zug gesetzt und bin halt nach Mailand 14 Stunden gefahren. Das war eine gute Reise, interessante Reise. Und ich werde sehr detailliert über Umweltschutz mit Kasper sprechen, warum er das Ganze macht und wie das auch so seinen Arbeitsalltag bzw. auch sein Einkommen eventuell beeinflusst. Aber bevor wir in dieses Gespräch reinhören, möchte ich noch schnell eine kleine englische Zusammenfassung für unsere englischen Zuhörer geben. Welcome to the Electronic Beats Podcast. My name is Gesine Kühne and I'm happy that we have this episode in English because I got to meet Kasper Björke, an amazing DJ and producer. But mainly, he's a climate activist. How do you do that as a DJ? Well, you try to take the train to your gigs. But I'm not going to talk too much about our little interview we had. You're just going to have to listen to it. Bevor wir aber in das Gespräch starten und genau hören, was Kasper zum Umweltschutz zu sagen hat, möchte ich euch noch ein Produkt der Deutschen Telekom vorstellen. Und das Ganze heißt Datenroaming. Das ist ja wirklich in Europa inzwischen so ein Luxus, oder? Ich bin da durch, wo bin ich lang gefahren? Österreich und dann nach Italien rein. Und ich musste nicht extra Datenpässe bestellen. Aber sobald man aus Europa rausfliegt oder fährt, dann kommt man schon in die Verlegenheit, mal surfen zu müssen. Und da gibt es tatsächlich das Angebot Travel und Surf Pass. Die sind unterschiedlich groß. Es gibt Tages- oder Wochenpässe. Man kann die mit einem gewissen Datenvolumen bestellen oder halt, wie gesagt, einfach sich an so einen Tag halten. Und das Ganze geht auch ohne extra App. Man bekommt eine SMS, dass man sich außerhalb des eigenen Tarifs bewegt und ob man vielleicht einen Pass kaufen möchte. Und dann klickt man einfach drauf und kommt auf die Seite, wo man das tun kann. Ja, ich habe das schon sehr oft getan. Also, wenn ihr dazu mehr wissen wollt, schaut doch einfach mal in die Shownotes. Da ist der Link zum Travel und Surf Pass drin. Hi, Kasper Björke.
Hello.
I'm very happy we're here together and we're not in Berlin or in Copenhagen where you're from. We're actually in Milano, in Italy. You played a party with mutual friends, Modular Project, and I came here because of you to meet you, to talk about a lot of environmental stuff, but also to visit my friends at Tempio del Futuro Perduto, which is an amazing club in Milano. And the reason I ask you to come here is actually not because they have this amazing studio, which has a great sound for the podcast recording. Also, they are very environmentally friendly as well. It's a plastic free club. It's very important. So that's why I thought maybe it's a great space for us to meet.
Definitely.
What I find very interesting with you, especially after hearing you last night, how are you able to walk that thin line between track and song?
Well, I think actually sometimes I'm not sure myself. But for example, like I'm just releasing a new double EP right now where instead of trying to combine the club tracks and the songs on one album, I decided to actually split it up. So I did like a part A with the more slow song vibey tracks, And then I did a part B that had that has like the club bangers. Mm-hmm. So that was just a way of like not having to try to fit them into one project. But what I have been doing in the past is that I've been not really thinking about the club when I've been doing my albums. I've been thinking about just tracks that I would like to listen to at home. And mm-hmm. then I've been having remixes interpret my music, so for the club basically. So mostly I'm in my own DJ sets. I've not really been playing my own original productions, but the remixes that others have made of me, and I find that quite fun actually. And yeah,
so you're in charge of everything. There's no music management label saying no to you can't do that, or
no? I mean, I've always chosen my own remixes from the beginning, and I find great joy in that. Actually, like trying to, well, when I DJ, I listen to all this new stuff and like meet all these great talented people, and it's just a nice way to also build your network and share music and swap remixes. I do one for them and they do one for me, and that's like been a trade for me since the beginning, ever since, yeah, like 2006, when I started to release my solo stuff. Like I remember writing Nicholas Jarre on MySpace.
MySpace.
and like I wrote him like, hey man, I'm really a fan of your stuff. And he had just released like a few 12 inches, maybe one EP on Wolf and Lamb at the time. Mm-hmm. So he wrote back like, hey dude, I'm a fan of you. And I'm like, holy shit. But then like I invited him to Copenhagen to play, and you know, he played in this small bar where I was playing. I'm not gonna say the fee, but it was low. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we went by train actually to another city in Copenhagen to play together as well, and had a weekend. And he did a remix for me for this Rolling Stones cover I did of Heaven. And you know, then he just blew up like crazy. And I'm not speaking to him anymore. I mean, I don't know if he would even reply my emails, you know, but he's doing his thing, and it's just amazing to be able to like have worked with a guy like that, you know.
Yeah. You mentioned MySpace, so that was already the lucky times of internet, and now it's so easy with file sharing, so you don't really have to meet in person to work together,
right?
Which is probably also nice for the environment if people don't have to travel back and forth to meet, but maybe not so nice on the interaction. Does it work with the internet? Is it the same kind of working together, you think?
No, email is definitely for me like the main networking tool at the moment, and it's fine. And the direct messages on Instagram is also a great way of reaching people.
Definitely.
If you don't have their email.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind technology in that sense. Well, let's not get into how much pollution the servers are using. But you know,
funny, I think about that stuff a lot these days. Yeah.
Yeah, when you're binging Netflix, then you start to feel guilty. But you know, you have, that's the thing. You know, this is like the big conversation, of course. But you have to choose your battles, and you have to do what you can on all parameters, but you are not made of stone, you know. That's how it is.
We get into that topic
a
bit more thoroughly later. You're from Copenhagen. You call that home, and you live, that's what I read, in a nice old building, as we Germans say, Altbau. How many days of the year are you actually home?
Well, these days, quite a lot. I mean, I don't have the exact number, but because I have two kids now, I try to spend as much time home as possible. So that's also part of my strategy about why I want to tour less and just like, yeah, I have my studio at home. I have my office at home. It's like a half business, half private.
Yeah. And that works fine for you, not leaving the house, but just like going next door?
Yeah.
Because I mean, people have different approaches. Like some need to go somewhere and have a rented desk, for example, although they're like freelancers.
Yeah. I've tried that and I never go there. I just end up paying double rent.
Many people haven't been to Copenhagen, I would say, from the listener. How would you describe the spirit of Copenhagen?
You know, it's like it's not as Berlin in terms of the music scene, you know, that we don't have nearly the same amount of interesting places, interesting parties, but there is like a strong scene. And there's like a new young scene, which is this fast techno, which I guess has also made it to Berlin, like 140 BPM.
Yeah, didn't we used to call it GABA back in the days?
I think, isn't GABA faster?
No, it's even faster, right? Yeah, okay, you're right.
It's more like trance, I guess.
Okay, but without the cheesy, trancey sounds.
Some even have those cheesy.
So maybe it's just trance. Okay.
Trance in the
neo trance.
21st century, yeah. But yeah, there's like this young scene of this super fast techno, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
But there is like a few established clubs. Culture Box is the oldest one, and then there is Jolene Bar, where I have like a residency.
I know.
But I choose like kind of to play there only every 2 months or something, because it's a marathon. It's like 7 hours back to back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I invite friends. I've had like Tim Sweeney, Axel Bowman, Marvin and Guy, Justin Strauss. Perel has been there. She's coming back.
Nice.
And so it's like it's a very nice spot. It's 150 people in a room. And a nice sound system and a laser and a smoke machine. What else do you need?
Sounds like fun. So Copenhagen could be a place for a DJ as well. It's possible to start out.
Yeah. And then there is
from there.
Yeah, there is like a good scene, I think, for a DJ.
Okay. But a lot of people do move to Berlin, for example, or New York or London. Those are very typical places for aspiring musicians or DJs, producers. Did you ever have one of those places when you were younger? And if so, what was it?
I started going to New York a lot around 2005, 2006. And I've played a lot in New York over the years. I had a residency at Output, which is closed now, but it was a really nice club based kind of on Berghain. The owners were really fans of that place, so they kind of built it around the same concept. But I played in a lot of really fun parties over there and spent a lot of time there also producing music. So my first three albums were mainly recorded in New York, actually.
Just because you had to go there anyway because of the residency?
I kind of went there to kind of indulge myself in the in the city life. And
was it also a bit like, because I can and I am able
time,
to, yeah.
At the time I was able to, I didn't have a girlfriend and I could like, you know, just stay for a month and a half and just like party and make music. And it's a super inspiring city. So for me, and my big inspiration at the time was also the whole DFA scene. And so that was like kind of very motivating to be in the city and be part of the whole scene.
Yeah. I mean, you have family now.
I do.
Two kids, as I just found out about the second one.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't be possible anymore anyway.
No.
But also because flying is really not so good for our world.
No.
That's why I wanted to talk with you about climate activism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have Greta Thunberg from Sweden, your neighboring country. And now we have you as a DJ, hopefully becoming a role model in train traveling.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know about being a role model, but I would like to inspire others to do the same.
Yeah,
like,
but that
does
makes a role model kind of.
Okay.
I mean, it's something very positive, you know, that Kasper Björk, people that know you and find out about that, it actually makes them think. I mean, look at me. I met your booker in August.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me, Kaspar is just traveling by train now. You should talk about climate activism and so on with him. And I'm like, okay. And it made me really think more than all the other stuff that I see on Instagram, the flight shaming and stuff that doesn't resonate, for example, because I feel like a rebellious kid and I'm thinking, you don't have to tell me anything. I still decide for myself. But with someone that I appreciate, especially in this kind of music, and that hearing about that, it's a difference. Why do you do that? Why did you decide to make that switch?
Well, it actually, it collided with me becoming a father. I mean, I've known, obviously, about the climate crisis for a long time. But becoming a parent was just like a game changer in terms of finding out about the responsibility of handing over this planet. Hello, cat.
Yeah, we have some cats here. They're very calming.
but handing over the planet to the next generation, just like it holds a certain responsibility when you become a parent. It really, it becomes very black and white. And I wanted to be able to look my kids in the eyes and say that when I became a father, it really, it was a line in the sand for me. So I started to just prioritize differently and started to kind of financially like restructure the way I spend my money and the way that I make my money. So because I've always kind of had my DJ income as like, it has been a big part of my main income, but it's also been the fun money, you know.
Okay.
You know, like
that you spend on fun things afterwards.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, a lot of that stuff I don't need anyway.
Yeah, and I mean that's another thing of being an environmentally friendly is cutting down on stuff.
Of course,
that we have, right?
Yeah, and that's another thing about this conversation is that flying is, of course, is like the main issue here because of the amount of carbon that you actually emit when you fly. Like I told you earlier, like a single flight from Europe to San Francisco kind of destroys your carbon budget for a whole year. That's just one flight.
Yeah.
So, but when you look at like what you eat, make sure to eat local and recycle everything, buy vintage clothes, vintage furniture. We are like in the process of becoming full on vegetarians, but it's like we still eat fish and we still eat chicken sometimes.
Okay.
But red meat is completely gone unless I'm in a amazing restaurant where it's organic meat and I'm super craving it, you know, but that happens maybe once every second month. And then afterwards I'm a little bit like, eh, I didn't really need it. So, but I don't want to be like a martyr or whatever you say. Like it's important for me to say that also I'm not shaming anybody for flying or anything. And I'm not saying that I'm not going to fly again because I am, but I am doing the best I can all the time to not do it, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way to go about it now.
Yeah. I mean, you have a very comfortable position, to be honest. You're 44.
Yeah.
You have a family. You have a proper set up life because you made your career.
Like
your name is out there. You know, people know you. You get your royalties and all that stuff. You can produce music. You also produce music for commercial companies. So it's easy for you to say, I'm not going to fly.
Yeah, and I realize that. Yeah. That's also why it's important for me to say that I'm not judging the DJs that are like depending on that's their only income and they have to do it. But maybe there's restructuring to be made between their booking agent and the residencies they have, or maybe there's ways to be creative about how to plan a tour so you don't fly across the Atlantic every 3-4 weeks. And just like, I think you can do more, you can always do more. And I'm speaking to a lot of DJs about it, like Baurut, for example, and Moscow Man, and like we've just like exchanged thoughts about it. And I think most DJs really want to change, you know, they really want to do
it's also
do the best possible. But again, as I said, like it's more about like you have to look at yourself and what you can do, and you don't really have to let others or like put it on others. Mm-hmm. I think we all like individually need to take responsibility for our own lives and mm-hmm. our own family.
Mm-hmm.
And if we all do that, then something will happen.
Yeah.
That's why I think...
So it's power by the people. Yeah. We need to really do that uprising, just like Fridays for Future and so on, just like really trying to mobilize as many...
Yeah, we cannot rely on the next man, you know?
Yeah.
So in that sense, the discussion about like, well, yeah, I mean, there's no reason for half of European touring DJs to go to South America
mm-hmm.
for every... festival, you know, mm-hmm. it's like maybe you guys only need to go once a year or mm-hmm. something, you know. I don't know. It's like, I mean, I understand it, I get it, and I've it's amazing to play and tour, and I've enjoyed it, and I still enjoy it. But I think it's a matter of finding a balance, you know.
Yep.
And right now, there's not balance in anything, actually. So.
Would you consider yourself a political person?
Yeah, but like political to the point where I rarely like use my voice in the social media about politics,
mm-hmm.
Which sometimes is a good thing, sometimes a bad thing, I guess. But I mean, after Trump became president, everybody has been like shouting up about how horrible he is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but on a local political level, I have strong opinions, you know, about immigration, and I think we've had like a horrible government, but we just got a new government, which is more to the left, so that's good. So we're having a more moderate and social politic now.
Yeah.
After a lot of horrible years.
You just mentioned not being outspoken about politics on your social media, for example.
Mm.
I want to get back to the climate activism, because Norman Cook, aka Fatboy Slim, mm-hmm. as we know it, took his old track Right Here, Right Now and mixed it with Greta's speech in front of the UN. Could you imagine doing something similar, like putting your political motions into your music?
Yeah, I've done it in a very underplayed, subtle way, I think, with my latest EP, actually. It's called Nothing Gold Can Stay, and it's about it's called up, or like named after a poem by Robert Frost from 1923,
mm-hmm.
which is about like the cycle of life and seasons change, and the artwork I've chosen is also like, yeah, green leaves on one side, and on the other side is like a dried out desert.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you read the poem, you understand, you know, that it's like, it's basically just about being aware of that nothing lasts forever, you know.
Yeah.
And that's a very subtle thing to put it like that, but that's just what I felt like, you know.
Yeah. I did note it on my laptop as well, you know, EP,
right.
Because I had a feeling there is something behind it.
And also the artwork, I had to download it, but it's like I didn't book any photographer to go somewhere to mm-hmm. take these photos.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I found it on a royalty-free website, and I just found that kind of nice as well, you know, that there was...
Sorry, I'm grabbing my handy, but I just remembered, because you said you downloaded your artwork, that I read something which I took a screenshot of promo I got from an artist I don't remember, Eka and something else, and in the end of the promo sheet it says the ecological impact of the production of this record will be compensated through a carbon offsetting program.
Mm.
Is that something you do or think about?
Well, I mean, the times that I do have to fly, yeah, I offset.
Okay, but production and stuff like that.
No, I haven't thought about that actually. I mean, if it would be something that I had to fly in a musician or something, yeah, I would do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, we have a green energy supplier where we live.
Yeah.
So that is already wind energy based. So I don't know what my carbon emission is. Then there is the vinyl. If you choose to have a vinyl, that's horrible.
But oh, that's so good that you mentioned that. Mm-hmm. But is it? Because just a couple of weeks ago, my friend Benjamin Fröhlich, you probably know him as well, and I took a long walk through the park, and we were talking about Jennifer Cardini and her label. And I wrote to Jenny asking if she has all those tracks also coming out on vinyl. And she's like, no, we don't do vinyl anymore. And I got the idea instantly when I read her message. And then I talked to Benji about it with Permanent Vacation. And he's like, well, we got rid of all CDs because they're completely useless. But he still produces vinyl. And he's like, Gesine, let's be honest, Spotify and other, not only Spotify, but like all kinds of
platforms.
Platforms have very big servers and they do emit a lot of carbon. And as you said earlier, you know, binging Netflix, not a good idea. Is that something to put into the equation when you say vinyl is bad because it's plastic, but then again, streaming and downloading and blah, 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 blah.
Well, that's what I also like mentioned a while ago. You have to kind of maybe choose your battles.
Yeah, okay.
Because if you want to like walk down that road that you are kind of talking about now, then it's going to be very difficult to be alive.
I get you. But so, I'm trying to tease you.
But I totally, and I mean, I think about it all the time. I think about it every day.
Okay.
Like what choices I make and what the impact will be.
Okay.
Like from picking out the fruit that I'm buying, like where is it from, to sorting all the plastic and all the cardboard and everything like, for recycling in individual containers and spending like minutes a day doing that, you know. But I think we have to do whatever we can on as many levels as we can. And I certainly don't mind stop making vinyl for my releases. There has been made one, like super limited of the new one, but I don't necessarily see vinyl on any of my future releases, no.
Okay. We already talked about New York, that you were there a lot and producing there a lot. Was it really that important, or really was it just your hedonistic self doing that, saying, I'll do it because I can, and then I'll put it under the headline, creativity, because the city is so inspiring.
At the time when I went to New York, you think? Well, at that time, I didn't think about it.
Okay.
It was just like, now we're talking 2005, 6 until, around the time I became a dad. That was the last time I went across the Atlantic. So I think that was the turning point in my life when I was like, okay, now there's no time for games anymore. Like, I think, and that's why I guess also the young generation are so pissed off now.
Yeah.
Because we fucked it up, you know. I've been yelling at my parents' generation about it for a long time, you know, that I thought that it was their fault.
Yeah.
But it is also our generation.
Yeah.
We failed.
These days are, of course, very, very easy to have guest singers, for example, which you often have, due to file sharing. They don't have to come to you and sing into a microphone next door.
Right.
So that saves a bit of the environment. But is it possible for a young musician, also out of Copenhagen, for example, Denmark is not such a big country, to become internationally successful?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Like from his own little studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I mean, maybe more than ever.
Yeah.
Know. But obviously, it all comes down to the music. And, how good is it, you know?
Too smart. You're outsmarting me.
But no, I mean, there is like just endless possibilities of making yourself heard and seen. And but yeah, it has to be really great what you do. And I mean, sometimes I think like if I had been young now, like, or younger, if I had been starting out now, I would not be where I am now, you know?
Yeah.
It's like there were a lot fewer producers back then when I started in 98, 99, and I was very lucky to get signed quickly with my old band project and could make a living from just making music and being played on the radio and touring. I was in Japan like 3 times in a year touring and sold like 30, 40,000 copies of our first album there. And it's just like, that doesn't happen anymore. Like, first of all, you don't sell physical products like that anymore, but just like, the scene is so much bigger and you kind of, yeah, you have a whole different structure of everything. And yeah, the stuff I made back then was not as good as it as it should have been, like, but I was on an Atari computer and a mono sampler and, you know, it was, we did what we could, you know, and it was fun. But if it had been like that today, we wouldn't have had a chance, I think. So yeah, it's a different situation now, but like if we had had Ableton back then, I don't know, it would have been fun.
I have a look once in a while onto my notes, and there is Richie Horton mentioned because he pays Atmosphere when he flies, which is like a compensation program for the carbon emission. I mean, you said you have a couple of flights and then you pay that too, I guess.
Yeah, but it doesn't make me feel any better.
Okay.
To be honest.
So you can't have money saving your soul.
No,
doesn't work.
And like any scientist is saying the same thing, that this is not the solution.
Yeah.
But when you dig into the like facts and read about what all the scientists are saying, it's just what we need is like a negative emission. Like we need to pull carbon out of the atmosphere.
Not put more in and then pay it off somehow.
Yeah. I mean, either we have to plant, what was it, 8 billion trees or something in 10 years, or there's like different solutions, and these machines that can actually pull carbon out of the atmosphere. They built one in Switzerland. I think they're testing it in Iceland now. But there needs to be like, I don't know how many machines they need to build and put up around the world to actually make this function.
That sounds like a dystopian novel almost.
Yeah, it does. And the machine looks quite dystopian as well. But we are living in dystopian times. And I think it's all comes back to that we as individuals have to do everything we can on all parameters in our lives. And then there needs to be these like fundamental changes in our societies around the world.
So let's get we're getting into philosophy mode and talking so much talk. Let's get to the practical point. The moment you decided that and you called or emailed your booker and said, Claudia, no more planes for me. I'm taking the train. What was her reaction?
Well, I think she was kind of like already, I've been like pointing it or like giving points about it for a long time. Like, hey, couldn't we look at me taking the train instead? And she's like, well, like, you know, not really. And then I've been like canceling or like not canceling, but saying no to so many gigs already that I think Claudia was just like, my booker was just like happy to see that I was actually willing to go. Because I've just been saying so much no.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, now it's just the basic agenda that we have to make it work like that. And that just means that I'm playing a lot less. And that's just how it is. And I can feel it financially, but I can live with it.
Yeah. When you say no, or when you said no to so many gig offers, was that communicated to the club that they say Kasper can't come because he can't fly or he doesn't want to fly?
No, not really. Not at the time. But I mean, I think that might be an option for clubs, promoters and agents to look into this as kind of a, I don't know, like a, you know, like you have the organic stamp on food, bio or whatever. I mean, you could maybe look into this kind of organic rating. Oh, that's a weird word,
but I know what you mean.
You like know what I mean? Yeah, like kind of like structure it a little bit.
Like an eco rating for club culture or whatever it takes a club to run, being eco-friendly, because that actually is part of my whole questionnaire as well. Do you check if the club doesn't use single-use plastic, for example, or stuff like that? Do you ask that beforehand?
I was thinking about that because I saw, I'm not going to name her name, but I saw like a huge DJ saying that that was like her, how do you say, her mission was to talk about this plastic issue. And I think that's great. But at the same time, she's flying around the world like crazy, which is something that she can really do something about. But, you know, I can't make a club change their whole policy about plastic because they have the suppliers of alcohol and sodas. And I guess if they choose a different kind of supplier of water only in cardboard boxes or something, then they cannot get the beer they want or whatever. I mean, it's probably really, really complicated.
Yeah. But there are certain things clubs can do. For example, Backhand just got rid of the straws.
There is a certain amount of symbolicness in removing the straws because that will make people think about it. And then they won't be buying the straws themselves or maybe in their local cafe. I've actually done that quite a lot in Copenhagen. If I come into a place and they have a plastic straw, then I ask them, like, did you consider changing to, like metal or bamboo straws or something else? And they're like always like super positive, like, and we're going to speak to our boss about it. And I've seen, then I come back like months later and then they changed it, you know. Not saying that it's because of me, but you can do stuff like that in your daily life. That's nice. Like mini activism. But yeah, back to the situation with the clubs. I think there is just like a lot of potential in having the promoters and the booking agents speak together. Also between the different agencies when they're putting DJs on tour, that if they want to pair them up, why not pair them up in cities where they're actually close together at the same time?
Yeah. It's a lot more organization, a lot more work.
It is a lot more work. But yeah, I mean, after booking this train weekend, it was just like, it was a lot of work.
Yeah.
Because the train companies don't really work together across countries.
That's another thing that we realized when we decided to come by train as well, to get the experience, to be on the same page with you and have this conversation. I looked onto the Deutsche Bahn page, nothing to Milano. There was like maybe one overnight and it was 250 for one person, but there was only one time and we're like, that's not possible. Also the price, not possible for us. And then we found this train link page or something, which is like an Oporto for trains. And it's amazing, really amazing. So a lot of countries are also behind in that, like linking up and being able to even have like the train travel, I don't know, manageable through Europe, although we have proper train nets working, you know.
We do, but it's so old school in many ways. Like if you look at Japan and the Shinkansen trains that are high speed and super efficient, we need the same here in Europe. So people would actually choose that over flying.
Yeah,
because then it's super fast and it just works. So I read someone, like I think it was Greenpeace or somebody, saying that this is the plan, you know, like to, if they were in charge, like to take the money from taxing airplane tickets. You have to hire the airplane tickets a lot in price. Take that money and invest in a European high-speed train network. That makes perfect sense. You can do it in 10 years. Build it and make it happen.
Yeah.
But the will on a political level doesn't really seem to be there. Like in Denmark, they actually canceled 3-4 years ago. They canceled a lot of the night trains that went from Copenhagen to through Europe. So now you have to go to either Hamburg or to Malmö in Sweden to get on a night train, which is like the worst signal to send now.
Yeah.
So yeah, there is a lot of lack of will. I hope if I do anything, I hope I inspire a few people to think about it, like a few other DJs, to think about it when they plan their tour and say, maybe I'm going to postpone my South American leg until I can combine it with North America next year, you know, instead of going now, stuff like that. And maybe, yeah, the European gigs, I'm going to lay them out with my booking agent so that I can actually go by train. And I'm doing this trip tonight back to Copenhagen from Milano. It's 25 hours on the train.
Yeah.
So,
and a flight would have been 2 hours, 3 hours?
2 hours. Mm. Yeah, 1 minute or 1 hour, 50 minutes or something. Yeah. I invest my time in it, but I think it's important to do it.
Mm.
And
you might get some lifetime for your kids out of it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's a bonus. But I miss my kids. I could have been home and see them tonight.
Yeah.
And put them to bed, you know. Instead I'm coming home like after they're put to bed tomorrow.
Okay.
So yeah, it's not really a choice for me, and I just think it might be inspiring for others.
Yeah. Do you sometimes still go out, although your father, when you're back home and full-on producer?
Rarely,
yeah.
I would say. If I do go out, it's like for a couple of hours to see a show or something.
Or something like last night where you played with your friends. It's a bit of going out, or is it just purely work?
No, yeah. I ended up staying until the end. I enjoy it. I love to play.
Yeah.
And now when I'm traveling by train, I realized I'm more excited because I can like, there's a lot of time to get excited on the way, you know, and there's nothing that is annoying. Like I used to become in a bad mood, like the day before I had to fly already. My girlfriend was always like, oh, you're so uptight because you're going to leave tomorrow and stressed. And it's just, the whole train situation is so different. It's it's like slow living, you know. It's just, you sit there and there's like a beautiful nature outside of the window.
But is it also relaxing? As I said before, we did a train travel from Berlin and with some delays and so on. From door to door, it took 14 hours. Mm-hmm. I was here in Milano 2 weeks ago already and took the plane, and with all my personal little fuck ups, like leaving my laptop on the plane, it took me 7 hours from door to door. So
yeah, exactly.
Half the time.
Yeah.
With lots of stress. But still, in the end, I found the train travel was really nice, but I was also so exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming to work somewhere, I could imagine it would be hard getting off the train and then straight into the club.
Yeah. It took me 14 and a half hours from Copenhagen to Zurich, and then I had a quick dinner and a quick check in the hotel, and then I was in the club for 7 hours at Zukunft in Zurich and had a great time. And I was just like on a high of positive energy about like going by train, and just like, I guess when it becomes more like the norm, then it gets a bit more exhausting. But I relaxed on the train, and I don't relax on a plane. I'm like super tense it just, for me, I was listening to podcasts and working on my laptop and listening to new music and just walking around, went to the restaurant car and like had a a pasta and super nice.
It actually really sounds like a little holiday.
Yeah.
In a moving tin can with big panorama windows.
That's the thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, plenty of stops where you could like step out if you wanted for a few minutes mm-hmm. and breathe mm-hmm. if you need to.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I like to stay on the ground.
Good. I think that's a very nice sentence to finish. I wanted to talk so much about your music. We got stuck in politics, but I think that's important because I said it before, I used the term role model, but I think, yeah, you are my personal role model.
Oh, thank you.
For doing that, because it made me starting to think about my own mm-hmm. flight time.
Well, then I'm happy, you know. So, that's if a few people would do that, then I'm happy.
Thank you very much, Kasper Bjørke. How do you pronounce that properly?
Kasper Bjørke?
Okay.
Pretty much the same.
Pretty much the same. Thanks.
Thank you.
Das war also Kasper Bjørke. Übrigens, Shownotes, ne? Dort gibt's noch einen Link, nämlich nicht nur zum Travel und Surf Pass, sondern auch noch zum DJ-Mix, den Kasper Bjørke für Electronic Beats gemacht hat. Ich freue mich mal wieder auf euer Feedback und auch auf Gästewünsche. Nun schreibt doch mal einen Kommentar, wenn ihr gerne mal hören wollt. Und zwar könnt ihr das machen auf Instagram oder ihr hinterlasst eine Bewertung bei Apple. Bis dahin, falls wir uns nicht hören, sehen wir uns im Club. Das war der Telekom Electronic Beats Podcast.
Abonniert den Podcast bei Apple, SoundCloud, Spotify oder Deezer.
Wir sehen uns im Club.
Bis dann.